भगवद्गीता 10.2 न मे विदुः सुरगणः प्रभवं न महर्षयः अहमादिर्हि देवानां महर्षीणां च सर्वशः। सो कृष्णा स्पीक्स ओवर हियर, न मे विदुः, आई डू नॉट नो सुरगणः, और न मे विदुः, सॉरी नॉट आई डू नॉट नो, इट इज आई एम नॉट नोन। नमे विदुः सुरगणः, ऑल द सुरस, प्रभवम् न महर्षयः, प्रभव इज माय ओरिजिन, न महर्षयः, यू नॉट इवन द ग्रेट सोल्स, द ग्रेट सेजेस, महर्षि, व्हाई डू दे नॉट नो मी, इज गिविंग वन काइंड ऑफ रीजनिंग, अहम् आदिर्हि देवानाम्, आई एम देयर सोर्स, महर्षीनां च सर्वशः, आई एम देयर बिगिनिंग, आई एम देयर सोर्स, महर्षीनां, ऑफ बोथ द देवताज एंड द महर्षीज, सो कृष्णा इन द प्रीवियस वर्स स्टेटेड दैट ही इज गोइंग टू स्पीक परमम वचः, द टॉप मोस्ट वर्ड्स, कृष्णा इज Now, those words are going to be about his, ultimately about his devotion, about bhakti to him. But to establish the glory of bhakti, Krishna also establishes the glory of the object of bhakti. Now, if we recommend to someone, you know, take a job in that company. Say a person has got has completed the final year or is in the final year, the campus selections are happening, and then there are various options for talented students with good marks, which company should they apply for. So when recommending apply for this company or apply for that company, you know, then at that time the thing that we tell when you're saying that you want to work, take a job for that company, we tell how big that company is and how big are the benefits that one may get by working for that company. So, the glory of the company is a natural and essential way of recommending employment in the company. So, even a more personal level, you know, if a person is working in a company and that person has the capacity within that company to choose between say 3-4 different teams, then we may tell that, okay, this team leader is very good. Now work with this team leader. And if you glorify that team leader, then naturally the younger cadet, when they have choices like that, the younger candidate may choose to work in that particular team, under that particular team leader. So, a glorification of the object of service is a natural inspiration for the act of service. So, just as people may proudly say, I work in Apple or I work in Microsoft or whatever, I work in some big company, like that. So, Krishna is here glorifying his own supreme position in order to inspire devotion to him. Not just inspire, but to make devotion to him single-minded, as we'll see later. So the spiritual culture, of which the Gita is an essential part, that spiritual culture is essentially a culture of respectfulness. Now we see the citizens respect the kings, and the kings respect the sages, and the kings respect the devtas, and there are various ways in which the kings even worship the devtas. But even while worshipping like this, the point that is always kept in mind is that we recognize that there is no ultimate goal, or rather no ultimate function destination to be attained by such worship separately. Krishna has talked about how, both in the 7th and the 9th chapters, that worship of the devatas will lead only to temporary results. Antavattu phalam tesham, it's said in the 7th chapter, the 23rd verse. And here also he said, Kshine punye marte lokam vishanti, he said in 9.21. So here, the point that Krishna is making is fairly unambiguous. And the point is that we can't break free from the bondage of material existence just by worshipping devatas or by respecting the sages. We need to be devoted to the Supreme. And to underscore the difference between the positions of the Supreme and the positions of other respectable beings within the Vedic worldview, Krishna contrasts here in a very graphic way. He says, what to speak of both being equal? He says, they don't even know me because I am their source. Now, I am their source means when a child is born, that child may, parents often may tell stories about their childhood, about their growth, about their affectionate, whatever adventures they may have had in their lives. And by talking about all these things, what do? The parents ensure that, say, the legacy is not just passed on, but their antecedents are known to their children. No matter how well informed the children may be about their parents and their ancestors, still, they were not there at those times. So their knowledge is more informational. It is not first-hand knowledge. So Krishna is telling that, In a broadly or a roughly similar sense, Krishna states here that actually the devatas don't know him, and even the rishis don't know him, because they all come from him. Krishna has indirectly pointed to this, that he's the source of everything. In various places, for example, 7.6, when he said that everything that exists comes from Metad Yoni Nibhutani Sarvani Upadharayaham Krishna Se Jagata Prabhava Pralayastha. That whatever exists in this world, it all comes from Krishna. All is a combination of these two natures, and it all comes from Krishna. He stated that earlier. But while stating that, it has been very clear that Krishna is the cause of all causes, is the absolute truth. But still, there might be some ambiguity. Or what about the other worshipable beings? What is their position? Krishna says here, he resolves that, he resolves any ambiguity on that count. Sometimes some people ascribe the doctrine of henotheism to the Vedic teachings. So, henotheism is the idea that that there is one absolute truth who manifests in many forms. And whichever form we may choose to worship, we can worship in that form. That is henotheism. And then, cat henotheism is a more specified, narrow, focused conception of that same henotheism. That says that actually you can choose whichever form you want to worship, and you can worship accordingly. And Krishna states very clearly here that that is not correct. He says that there are other devatas, and they are not at the same level as he is.
They are not the cause of all causes. He is their cause. Aham adhiri devanam. He is the cause of the devatas and he is the cause of the maharishis also. And not just rishis, even the maharishis and the great sages, they are not equal to him in position. They are all subordinate to Krishna. And it is Krishna who is the ultimate worshipable object. This was demonstrated in the Rajasuya Yajna when the devatas and the maharishis were present. And even in their presence, it was Krishna who was chosen for the position or for the for worship as the supreme worshipable being, for getting the honor of the Agra Puja. And that which was demonstrated through action, now Krishna is stressing through philosophical analysis and instruction in this verse.